Brethren, let's begin this morning. Since we can get to 10 o'clock and 10:30, we'll do our, by that time at least, we'll be doing our Johnny Ramsey presentation, and it real sounds good off of this table right here. The table that's in the back, with which you picked up two sheets, appreciate very much your doing that. One of them is in regard to Acts chapter 19. I preached about that yesterday morning in the school of one Tyrannus, and the various miracles that Paul was able to do at that point in time, and the description given by Kaufman's commentary in the New Testament. If you'll go to studylight.org on your computer, you'll see any book, any chapter, any whatever, and you've got a dozen different commentaries that they'll have there in the navigator column to your right when you check on a verse of Scripture. In Acts chapter 19, I chose Kaufman's thing because he commented regarding the miracles that Paul did there in that occasion. This is the occasion where you may remember that in verses 13 and 14, seven of the sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, they went out and said, well, we heard that Jesus was used. They thought they could use the name Jesus and command that the spirits depart from people too. So they decided to go visit some of the people who were filled with the ungodly spirit and say, we adjure you by Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, whom Paul preacheth, come out from this person. And this spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And then they came out and jumped on the seven sons, stripped them of their garments and everything, ran them out of the house and away down the road. Terrible thing just to say that they were using the name Jesus didn't mean that they were serving Jesus. And that's the point well made there that he did. He talked about the various miracles that Peter and Paul did that are identical in the book of Luke and the book of Acts by Luke. And so I thought that would be an interesting thing for a study of the 50th anniversary that we'd have. And then the second page there, front and back, is in reference to the lecture that I did 2 years ago, 2018, up at Nesbitt at the Standing in the Gap Lectureship Program. And they asked me to speak regarding the idea of the synecdoche, the figures of speech. And I did that, and this is on the page front and back. You can hear for salvation, but is it hearing only? You can believe for salvation, is it believing only? And repent, confess, be baptized, watch and pray, obey and forgive others. But can you just forgive others and be saved by that process yourself? And the answer comes back, no, that's not the point. The point was these were used in synecdoche form, and they are a part that stands for the whole. And all these parts are very important to God. And Jesus plainly said, if you do not forgive from your heart those who sin against you or trespass against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Very clearly made. And again, I wrote on that 50th anniversary. That's again part of a study we go back to and enjoy very much. If you would take your song book and sing with me a song that you know from memory, 198 is that song. 198, I'm Bound for the Promised Land. Let's sing the first verse of this song and have a word of prayer. And Brother Howe, lead us in that word of prayer for school, too. And Brother Bill will lead us in a closing prayer for our food stuff that we'll do up yonder at Huddle House later on. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Amen. Let's pray.
Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for a time that we can spend together in a study of thy word. We're thankful for the training school for better service and what it does in reaching people throughout the state and throughout the nation and even into the world.
Yes.
And we pray for its success. Father, we are thankful for Robert and his work here at Crockett and for Jane, and we pray for the church here. We pray that it might continue to be stable and that it will grow and be all that it can be for the cause of Christ. These things we ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Now, Brother Johnson will speak this morning. Some of his historical backgrounds and the importance of schools and like that, and the ideas of serving God is the right way. Brother Howe, come and speak to it.
So good to be with you here at Crockett. And thank goodness for that light.
Amen.
That's the best light I believe I've had. And I don't know when. But it's good and bright.
Yes, it is.
And it illuminates the page so you can see the scripture. And I have a difficult problem sometimes at Sardis with that. I guess it's because of the years. And the eyesight's not quite as good as it needs to be. Jesus gave the Great Commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth, the end of the world. That's Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 28. 18 through 20. And Mark's account says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, to go and teach, you got to have a teacher. Right? And it may not be a PhD teacher. It may not be a master teacher. It may not even be a teacher that's got a BS or BA. I'm thankful I received a BA many years ago, and I was a teacher, taught in public school, and we need teachers. I see where Mississippi is short, of teachers. Many teachers. And many go into teaching profession without the right attitude. And they don't want to stay in the classroom very long. They want to get into administration and other places where the money is. But you know, we need to put more money into classroom teachers' hands and to keep them in the classroom and teaching. But we need to do the same thing with teaching gospel preachers. They need to be taught. There are very few, I've known a few, and Robert, you've known a few, who were self-taught preachers. But that's a hard way to go. It's a difficult way to go. But it can occur, and there's some of the best preachers I've ever heard were that because they were dedicated. Their heart was in it. They had a passion for it. But young people, young men, young women, and I say women too because we need women supporting their husbands in teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And women can go a long way in helping their husbands be prepared in this old world. Folks, we're living in difficult times. I know you know that. I don't have to rehash that. We are. We're living in a difficult time. And it's hard to reach out to folks. And we need to be taught how to teach so that we can reach out to others. There's a passage in 2 Timothy that I want us to look at, and then a couple there, Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul was a man that had been trained at the feet of Gamaliel. He was an educated man, but he was also an inspired man of God. And notice what he says to Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And here's where I want to concentrate just a minute. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Underline that word, faithful. Who shall be able to teach others. We have to be able to find individuals who have a passion and a concern for preaching the Word of God. In the second part of this chapter, or at the last of this chapter, I find here an important description of one who would be a preacher, a teacher of the Word of God. Here in verse 24 he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive.
Quarrel.
Yeah. Fuss. Mm-hmm. Fight. Too often, and what leads to that is pride. The wrong kind of pride I'm talking about. Being too full of yourself. Thinking of yourself of too much importance. The servant of the Lord must not strive, must not be quarrelsome, must not be one that's fighting. It's how we deal with people. If we come across, and I don't know what other word to use but this, as a know-it-all.
Yeah.
You've met some know-it-alls, haven't you? If we come across as a know-it-all and as an arrogant, prideful person, we're going to lose our ability to instruct some folks. Here he says he must not be one that's open to quarrelsomeness or fighting and bitterness, but be gentle unto all men. Y'all, we don't know what folks are going through. The other day, one of my best friends his wife fell and struck her head on the curb at the mailbox and had a brain bleed. Well, they attend one of the other churches. They attend a Baptist church there in Sardis. And several of those folks there sent me a text and said, did I know about it? Well, it happened on a Wednesday night, and I was in Bible study when it happened. When I got home, of course, I think I did that this morning. I hope this thing don't go off. But I had cut my phone, put it on silence. And I got home and opened up my messengers, and it was about that. Well, I called my friend. And he was all up Then later the next morning, I called and she had made it through the night. Then I got a call that after I'd gone to Rubbery for lunch, and immediately I knew it was awful. And he just broke down crying. He's had a tough time. There are people out there, I use him as an example, because I did this reason. But there are people out there that are hurting. And we need to be gentle unto all men. Next it says, apt to teach. Prepared, ready. You can know the Bible, as one old preacher used to say, from kiver to kiver. But you've got to use the Bible in the right perspective. Apt to teach, ready, prepared to teach. And that takes some study. It takes some guidance. You need someone. And a lot of times you have some people that are excellent teachers, and they do a much better job in teaching than maybe in a pulpit, quiet, quote unquote, type preaching. But take the time. And in its being apt to teach, you also have to be patient. You know, as I said, we are all at different levels. I hate to use this, but I'm going to. I have a grandson that is 7 years old. He's in the first grade. And he'll say things to me. I was doing something and he said, "Papa, that is ridiculous." And I said, "What do you mean that is ridiculous?" Because I thought it was just using a, picked it up and it's just, well, he used it correctly. I think he got in trouble at school with his teacher for using some terms correctly that he should have kept his mouth. He hadn't learned the difference in doing it correctly and using some patience and being a little discerning in what he says. He'll say, and another thing, a good friend of ours had died, and no one told him about our friend. And one day he said, "What happened to Johnny?" And they hesitated. The kids, his parents hesitated telling him. And they kept, and then he just point blank said, "He's dead, isn't he?" "He's dead." Well, they didn't want to explain about death and all that, but he was ready. Now, there's some that are ready. Some folks are ready for instruction, and some are not quite ready there, and you have to deal with it in that fashion. Be patient in dealing with folks. Do it in meekness. That back again to humility. Instructing those that are oppose themselves. You're teaching folks to help them. They're opposing themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And what's the purpose behind us teaching someone to teach and then they going out to teach? What's the purpose? What's the goal? What hopefully is that destination? That they may recover themselves, that is, the ones that have been taught, out of the snare of the devil. And let me tell you, the Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you study that particular verse a little bit, you come to understand even better. He describes the devil as what? A roaring lion. But he says walking about as a roaring lion. He's cagey. He is. He stalks his prey. And when he gets them right in his sight, he pounces.
Yes.
And when he pounces, he roars. He's out there. And sometimes he uses individuals to do his mischief and his work, who are taken captive by him at his will. Brethren, we all need to be teachers of the Word of God. We need to study it and learn it and add it to our volume of knowledge so that we can teach others. We need to be encouraging others to teach. One of these days, we're not going to get around. The average lifespan is 78 years. I know what you're thinking. But 78 years can come before you know it. Plus today, and we've always had it, we have folks that can no longer do what they did before because their mental capacity. They have a shrinking of the brain. We call it dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever. But there does come a time when we're not able to do what we once did. But God will use us, and He wants us to put forth our very best effort. I hope this has been a little bit of encouragement to you.
Absolutely.
It's 26 after the hour, so.
That's great.
As Brother Holland used to say, study up,
speak up,
shut up.
He did.
Thank you, Brother Johnson, so much. I would delete certain things from certain individuals as it goes on the internet for us.